Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Have no place to go, darling.
Good morning, 720 WGN. Justin Kaufman here with you today. Steve Cochran out till Thursday. Surprisingly, the gang's all here, though. Mary Sandberg, Dave Innett, and Mary Vandevelt. Super Joe and Pete are out. But I'm surprised. I only say surprised because it seems kind of like a ghost town around here.
It does. Everyone's in holiday vacation mode.
Yeah. But you know what? You guys are pros. I've always thought that of you, Dave. You're a pro.
Thanks, Justin. So, when do you start your break?
Yeah, right. Not until later in the week.
Yeah. Tomorrow. Tomorrow is your last day.
I show a little bit of professionalism.
Oh, he
not
doesn't.
Full professionalism, a little bit.
He doesn't. Don't listen to him.
It's so funny how some offices work now. People like work from home more than ever.
Right.
Don't you find that?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm talking to my son last night. I mean, the kid, his first job, and he's like, oh, I'm working from home tomorrow. I'm like, well, you working from home? You're brand new at a job.
We're in a business where you have to come in and there's microphones. There's very expensive microphones. But you know, radio for a long time was people could work from home. Like you always hear like the Rush Limbaughs or the, I don't know if Steve Dahl did that. They just go. Khan's got one of the best studios I've ever seen in his house. Like he can do it from home. So maybe we should do more working from home.
I agree. Orion has a great studio.
You can't out in Villa Park. You can't open up a nice traffic studio.
In one of my kids' former bedrooms. So can I just do traffic from home? Now?
You know, I'm not your boss, but go for it.
I'll be doing that tomorrow.
I had a studio at home in a former life, and I didn't like it. I felt so disconnected from everybody on the air.
Interesting.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah, I felt like I was. It was lonely.
You become like a hermit.
I don't know how you're here, Dave. I turned on the radio last night. Once again, Northwestern Wildcats are playing basketball late. For some reason, these college kids, they don't care about curfews anymore. And they just play these games late.
Because they're young.
They don't need sleep. But what time did you get home last night?
I got home. Actually, it wasn't too bad. I was home, got off the air, I think, at about 20 after 10, something like that.
Sure.
And I was home, I think, about a little before 11 o'clock.
Okay. Oh, well, never mind. I take back my sympathy.
No, 11 till
11.
3.
Give me a break.
Still not
you're
much
in your
sleep.
House 11 to 3.
But I couldn't fall asleep. That's my problem.
I'm wound up.
So.
Jeez. That's crazy.
Fine.
All right. Well.
No complaints.
I don't know if you remember. You were out last week, Dave, but if you do need a backup, like a Colt McCoy or a Chase Daniel, I'm your guy.
I heard this.
I could come in on a spot start and do sports. I got a call and everything.
I heard the footsteps.
He kept, though his sign-off is a little messed up, he keeps saying WGN Radio Sports, but you
is
don't say radio. He just says WGN Sports.
Because if you're listening, you kind of know it's the radio.
Right. Yeah.
Mine would be Justin
Unless you're
Kaufman.
Listening online.
Justin Kaufman, WGN Radio Sports. Like, I could change it up. I do it a different way.
Should I try that?
It's redundant.
Yeah. Well, no, you've got yours. I'm working on mine. It was a spot start.
I recorded all of them just for fun, just to make him nervous, videoed. And the first one, he went 115, and he was shocked because he thought it was going to go 45. But then the next ones, every other one after that was 45.
My goal, seconds-wise, of timing, was to try and go 20 seconds because I wanted to get in and get out. Bulls, Bears, Blackhawks, sports. And that was it. But you're right, it's hard to do. It's hard to do. No, I learned a lot about your job, Dave.
Good. I'm glad.
You can keep it.
I'm going to change my sign-off now.
There's a lot of different inflections, a lot of different ways you can go. I'm just saying that there's a lot of options. All right, coming up, we got the top six at six. We've got a big show today. We're going to get to it and, of course, keep you updated on the procession down the Dan Ryan and, of course, the terrible Chicago police tragedy last night. Two police officers struck by a train while chasing a suspect in a Southside train yard. We'll have that coming up as well. So much to do here on the Steve Cochran Show, so let's get the show started.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Don't kick. Get your kicks.
with the top six at six. Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
Time for the top six at six. Well, everyone, the big story this morning, of course, the fallen Chicago police officers, Conrad Gary and Eduardo Marmolejo, were struck and killed by a train in a train yard at 103rd and Cottage Grove last night, investigating, actually chasing a shooting suspect. This is a terrible story. This morning, Chicago police had a procession down the Dan Ryan. You've been hearing all morning with Mary's traffic report. The South Shore trains and the Metro Electric trains that use those tracks have been delayed up to 45 minutes, and traffic starting to flow on the Dan Ryan as the procession is over. But what a terrible story. And we have seen way too many Chicago police fatalities in the last year, in 2018, four of them, these two included. So we'll find out more about this today as the story unfolds, but a terrible tragedy for the Chicago Police Department and the city of Chicago.
And we just had the mayor in yesterday, and he was talking about the officer that passed away a couple weeks ago in that shooting at the hospital. And he gets so choked up talking because he has shaken hands with every single officer that's, you know, in Chicago, and talking about these kids giving their lives to for us.
You're absolutely right. He did. Yesterday he went out of his way to say this holiday season to remember the families of Officer Jimenez, Officer Bauer, and also the people who were also killed in the Mercy Hospital shooting. But now today, just an ultimate tragedy right before the holidays for Chicago police officers Conrad Gary and Eduardo Marmolejo. We'll keep you updated this morning.
And all from that District 5, by the way.
All District 5. All that's
severely
right.
hit this year.
Jeez. Oh, Calumet District. Yeah, terrible story. But we'll keep you updated on all the traffic and delays that continue. Next. All right, cranes did some digging this week through some Freedom of Information Act requests and got more info on what we offered Amazon for their second headquarters. We lost out to Virginia and New York City last month. $2.25 billion in tax credits and exemptions. We did make the top five, but emails discovered said Amazon was concerned about Chicago's violence. How about that, huh? 2.25. The actual bid that New York gave was $3 billion. So we had we were lower than, but there's this strange clause in the emails that they found that said if they were serious, we could give more. That was
We had flexibility.
We had flexibility for economic sound policy to be, well, if you're serious, then we'll give you everything. But $2 billion plus in exemptions and tax credits to Amazon. I don't know how I feel about that. Now, you could go one way or the other, whether you think that's a good idea or not, to give that kind of money to a company to come here. But boy, oh boy. And they were looking at, I think they called it a 78 lot, which is along the Chicago River south towards Chinatown. And that's like sort of open land along the river in the South Loop going into Chinatown. That was what they were most interested and intrigued by.
I just heard this morning that on the opening bell that they decided on a location in New York, and it's on the Hudson River. They're renting space.
So
they must be riverfront.
They like the rivers.
They do, yeah.
You just take those Amazon barges, just roll right up and just put all those Christmas presents on there. Take them out.
All the boxes singing. Exactly. Can you feel it?
Exactly. Next. You may not have to take liquids out of your bag when going through airport security.
This is the best news ever. I'm so excited about this.
It struck a nerve here.
Oh, I hate those liquid bottles. You got to put your contact stuff in.
There is some new 3D equipment that's coming to O'Hare. It's not going to be ready by the holidays here, of course. Of course. Why do that right now? But there's a new equipment that would essentially screen your bag without having to take the liquids out. So this could be a major change in airport security.
Now, for TSA PreCheck, which I have, I don't think I ever have a liquid in there.
Yeah,
maybe hand sanitizer once in a while in my bag, but I've never taken it out. So you don't have to do it now, right?
You don't.
I don't know.
You have to take liquids out. Like, I can't take a bottle of water.
They make you throw it away.
You have to throw the water away and buy a bottle after security.
Now, is that security or is that just airport economics?
Oh, that's both.
I love when you see the people chugging the giant waters and things before they're going through.
Just bring the empty bottle and then fill it when you get in there.
There you go.
Oh, look at you, Mayor.
That's what I do.
I think it's just one big conspiracy by Hudson News to get us to buy $6 bottles of water.
Or how about an $8 box of granola, as I bought yesterday, Sunday at Midway.
That's interesting. The little snacks they sell.
I ridiculous. Think that, you know, as we get further and further into the technology part of security, I wonder if, you know, we're going to see all these changes that we had for the last decade of taking off our shoes and our belts and our and your liquids and all this kind of stuff be rendered obsolete because machines will do that for you.
But you know what? If you don't have to do it, Justin, because I've been pre-checked for a number of years, so I haven't done any of that. And for some reason, my boarding pass Sunday came out without the TSA pre-check on it.
Oh.
So I had to go through regular security.
Layman's
and I had to take all that. Yeah. I've forgotten what that's like.
Yeah,
then I had to get a pat down. I mean, where they? I mean,
oh, the atrocities!
And pants are falling down.
No, the guy said, he said, "Would you like to do this in private?" I said, "No, I don't care." And then I hadn't had that happen before.
You should see me. I'm like the boss police because we have pre-check, and when there's other people in pre-check and they're starting to take their shoes off, I'm like, "You don't need to take your shoes off." I'm like, "You're slowing things up because you don't know that you have the better rules." You've already been screened. You don't need that.
Every time I fly a plane, which is not very often, like twice a year, I get TSA pre-check automatically. And I've never bought it or anything. And I'm like, this is great. I always get it.
It is great.
I love it.
My wonderful. TSA pre-check
so I'm not buying
was
it. Why bother?
A little kid. Whenever I fly with Miles, they're like, you can come through. They don't like the kids to have to stand in a line. Or maybe just the look of us.
It's the look of you. Yeah.
All right, next. Pickpockets on the CTA, booming business. Last month saw a huge spike in people getting their purses and pockets fleeced. I guess this is a new trend. November was off the charts, record setting. You guys ever had have you ever been pickpocketed?
I have not.
Mary?
No.
Oh, so maybe not the big
Bennett,
deal.
Bennett has.
Yeah.
Well, he got beat up, too. Yeah. I mean, he got hit in the face and his phone taken away.
Yeah. I thought that was the big thing was iPhones on the CTA.
People taking them?
Yeah.
I guess that's probably part of pickpocketing. That's what they're going for, I would assume.
Yeah, you could easily take anything out of my purse, though, because it's open. I never even thought about somebody.
I think that this is also a byproduct of really congested trains. I mean, Pete Zimmerman would be a good person if he was here, but he's not as professional as us.
He's in New Mexico.
But but the point being that, you know, the trains have gotten so crowded that you're ultimately you're shoulder to shoulder in those rush hour experience, really. And so you can understand it might be easier for pickpocketers to do that.
You know how you keep volunteering to take the BNSF or whatever line, one of those metro trains out?
Aurora.
When you go on that, because it's overcrowded, maybe you should experiment pickpocketing just to see,
just to see what it feels
ease.
Like. To see what the rush is like for me to go into other people's bags and try to steal their stuff.
I mean, you can just return it.
Look what I did.
Right.
I could be like what was it, John Stossel?
Yeah.
I could be like the John Stossel type of reporter. And I just stole your phone and you did not know it. I did you a favor. Don't hit me.
That's a good Stossel.
You like that? Manny Machado visited the White Sox yesterday, the free agent infielder, one of the biggest free agents of all time. Sox making a play for him. They're making it a family affair, signing Yonder Alonso to a contract on Monday. Former All-Star first baseman and also Machado's brother-in-law.
Yes.
Does that matter, Dave? Does that matter that is that really what they're doing? Like trying to sweeten the deal by bringing family?
I think that it can't hurt, but I don't think that's ultimately going to look. I mean, I get along with my brothers-in-law, but if someone's offering me $300 million and the other guy isn't, I mean, who knows how this is going to shake out? There are a lot of people who are skeptical about where this is going and that these top free agents are looking for leverage. If you remember last year, it was a tough market for the free agents, and so maybe Bryce Harper and Manny Machado, you would hope that the interest is genuine, and it probably is to a certain degree, but the Phillies are there lurking with a lot of money to spend. Not that the White Sox haven't shown a willingness to do it.
I don't think the White Sox pay anybody right now. Jose Abreu,
they've got the money.
They have the money.
I was curious. They said that they really were rolling out the red carpet, and I want to know what that entails over there at Guaranteed Rate.
Like, we can't get our partners on the phone and be like, what's the what's red carpet mean to you?
Yeah, we don't have to talk about the deal. I just want to know what red carpet is.
What did you guys do? Did you bring out like the lefty southpaw? Did he do a dance at the airport when Manny Machado came in? That's what we want to know.
Take him to the scout seats. Yeah, right. unlimited ice cream and popcorn.
Why couldn't we do a simulated free agent tour on video? Yes. What it's like to be courted as a free agent by the White Sox?
I want to know what Chicago celebrities they touted. Like, who was there?
The ease of parking alone is a big selling point, I think. Your family could come to the game easily park right here.
That's here's a sell to Manny Machado.
You think Chance was there?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, right when you walk in, Chance is there, and it's like a 25-minute concert. Him and his buddies, and they do a concert. He does all his hits. And Manny Machado is the only one there. And he just watches. He's like, oh, man, this could be you, man. Would you like to be in my next music video? There's a lot of ways you could go.
Rick Hahn's listening right now.
Yes.
Great idea.
He's like, darn, we missed our opportunity. For Bryce Harper. They'll do it for Bryce Harper. And finally, a new study says that you are at most risk for a heart attack on Christmas Eve. A new study out of Sweden looks at Christmas Eve as the day that you're at most risk for a heart attack.
I figured out who these people are.
Well, I was...
The heart attack people?
They got to be the dads putting together all the toys.
I thought, oh, they got to put the bike together. Yeah. They got to get this
together. Just the stress of all that.
I think it also could be a month of overindulging, culminating on a big meat, eating a big steak on Christmas
Now,
Eve.
Now, this was a Swedish study. This is where it gets a little interesting. And Christmas Eve means something different in Sweden than it does in the United States. Christmas Eve is their party.
Okay.
So they do a full day of, think Christmas and how, almost like Thanksgiving. That's their Christmas Eve. So you get the idea of why that might play a little bit more because, like you just said, they overeating, overdrinking. So somewhere in the nighttime and Christmas Eve is where they see the most heart attacks. So maybe it doesn't apply to us, but it does apply to...
Just be on watch, people.
Sweden, be on watch!
That's it!
That's all today for the Top 6 at 6.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
Now, how old are you?
I am 10 years old.
14.
8. 12.
I'm 18.
I'm 10 years old.
What grade are you in or about to go into?
I'm a senior.
8th grade.
Sophomore year.
Just finished junior year, so yes, I'm a senior.
I'm in 4th.
What do you do for fun?
I love art. Art is my favorite.
I do soccer, basketball, cheerleading, tennis, baseball.
I like to play on the trampoline, and I love to make slime.
I act in plays, and I sing all the time.
I also write stories because I love writing.
I play tennis. I also like to play soccer with my best buddy, but I'm not. On a team.
Listen, you're a great kid. What do you want to be when you grow up?
Yeah, I'm still figuring it out.
Pediatric oncologist.
I really want to be a marine biologist.
I'm not really sure yet, but I'm looking into biomechanical engineering.
I want to be an orthodontist because you can help kids feel better out their smile.
Will you run for president someday?
I want to.
Are you excited to be on the show?
Yeah.
You sound super excited. Have you ever been more excited than this?
Yeah.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Never gets old. It's time for Kid of the Week. We do this every Tuesday. Mary, if someone feels like they can nominate or have a Kid of the Week in mind, what can they do?
If they go to WGNradio.com/contests, they can just have the Kid of the Week link is right there, and you fill it out. It takes a couple seconds.
And good to go. And that's how we do this. Nomination from listeners. And our latest today, Gia Tomaszewski is 8 years old, and she is nominated, and she is our Kid of the Week. Gia is on the line. Gia, thanks for joining us this morning.
You're welcome.
Hi, how's it going?
Good.
Good. Okay, so you are, I'm interested in this because you are the creator of Pop Top for Joy. What is Pop Top for Joy?
Well, we collect Pop Tops and bring them to our McDonald's house.
Okay. And what I have in front of me is that you've collected a lot of Pop Tops. You collected 5 million.
How did you do that, Gia?
Well, so a lot of people were helping me with this. I even had, the police, help me because we did a tiny contest. And all the pop-tops that they collected helped us get to our 5 million.
That is a crazy amount. Did you see them all?
Yeah.
That's great. And this is, why do you do this? Why did you come up with Pop Top for Joy?
Well, it really reminds me of Kelly.
Yeah.
Kelly was a friend of yours?
Yeah.
Well, Kelly has passed, but this is something that you're doing for her. And like you said, you recruited police officers to help you. How did that happen? Why did you get police to help?
Because it was, like, I think it would be fun, and it would help us get to our 5 million that we already needed.
Yeah, because police officers are already doing good work. Yeah, so yeah. I can see them helping out. And then one of your friends, one of your police officer friends ended up getting sick, right?
Yeah.
So what did you do for him?
We just did a thing where we got him tons of presents because he was in the hospital for 2 weeks. And it would be hard to buy him for Christmas presents, so we got him tons of Christmas presents.
Oh, that is so nice of you. And I think you also raised some money for him, too.
Yeah, we did. To help him pay for all the medicine he needed.
Yeah, that's so sweet of you. And actually, you since you've been hanging out with these officers, you've kind of decided that you're thinking about becoming an officer, right?
Yeah.
What kind of officer do you want to be?
A canine.
A canine one. Have you seen any of the canine dogs with your officer friends?
No.
Not yet? Okay. That's a good one, though.
That's a good one, yeah.
There's a... Hey, Gia, what else do you do besides help people that need it? Do you have any siblings?
No.
So you're an only child. Oh, Justin has an only child.
Yeah, that's right.
Do you like to read?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love my Humphrey books.
Oh, you love your books. Okay, yeah. That's good to hear.
And Christmas is coming up here. Are you looking forward to Christmas?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What did you ask for?
I really want an Elmo bigger surprise.
Oh, an Elmo.
This would be great for Steve. Yeah. Our Uncle Steve here, he loves Elmo.
Yeah, he does. He watches Elmo videos.
Well, Gia, thank you so much for talking to us and being our Kid of the Week, and congrats on the success of the Pop Top for Joy. And again, congrats on all of the things that you do for your community and for your friends and for people in need. We are completely in awe of you, Gia, and thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
So Gia is going to get a Lou Malnati's gift. Yeah, she's going to get a Lou Malnati's gift certificate and an APT gift card for being our Kid of the Week.
Wow.
She's doing this at 8. So can you imagine what's going to happen when she's double that, 16? Like,
and she had a friend, Kelly, who I'm not sure how Kelly passed, but I'm not sure it's not on the list, but to raise the money and give the money to Ronald McDonald, and then at the same time, enlist the help of the police who in her community helped out, and then to have one of the police officers fall ill with cancer and for her to step up and help him. I mean, yeah, I'm trying to think what I was doing at 8.
No, I was not. That
I was not doing this.
Playing with my slinky.
Yeah
it was pretty impressive.
Impressive. So congrats to Gia, and thanks for being our Kid of the Week. And again, if you would like to nominate a Kid of the Week, you go to
WGNradio.com/contest.
You got it. All right. Coming up, we will, at 7 o'clock, with the most valuable person on the planet, and a full show coming up here. So before we do that, Schwann, what do we got coming up in the news at 7?
Bells will be ringing.
WGN. Steve Cochran Show. Steve's back on Thursday. 312-981-7200. So much Christmas stuff happening around Chicago. I know that there's a bunch of shows. I'm going to see the Nutcracker this week, which would be good. Joffrey, which was in last week. Always a annual tradition. Mary, you are going to see the Q Brothers show.
I am. I have to thank you for turning me on to that, because I didn't know it existed.
And they were on last week. And then you just had, you've already started your Christmas festivities.
I have. On Saturday, Catherine and I, and Catherine's mom, Shannon, went to a gingerbread making event at one of Catherine's friends and her mom's hosted all the moms and daughters.
Gingerbread house?
Gingerbread houses,
okay.
Yeah.
I thought it was just like making gingerbread.
Oh, sorry, no.
You don't shape it, you just make pallets and pallets.
The gingerbread houses were already constructed, and the we got to decorate them. So they had us at their club, and it was very nice. And it was, I think there were 11 girls and 12 moms because of me.
Oh, that's great.
I know. At one point, we took a picture, and they said, daughters, stand in front of your moms. And in our case, Catherine is taller than both Shannon and myself, so you wouldn't see us because Catherine towers. So we stood on either side of her. So, but it was fun because this is a mix of, she's got friends that she's had friends from grade school who we know those moms, but then there's a new group of friends from high school. And it was one of the first events I've been to where I was not the only person that didn't know the other moms,
right.
Which has been the case, which is fine, but that's just, you know, the different thing about being a stepmom.
I mean, I think it's great, and I wonder, you know, especially when in this day and age, if you have more shared experiences where the mother-daughter activities are going to be three people as opposed to two.
Well, I think it depends on the family. In our case, Catherine said, you know, she had put me on the invite list for this other mom, and she had said, and I asked her, do you want me to say yes to this? Is your mom going? And she said, of course I want you to go. And her mom said, of course we want you to go. And so Shannon's really great about, she always has been since, you know, the beginning of time. But it's interesting when we're at stuff to introduce ourselves to new people. And I'll say, I'm Catherine's stepmom. And I'm like, this is Catherine's mom. And they're like,
they take a pause.
Right. Like, we came together. We sat by each other. You know, we leave together.
Interesting. So. They're not scratching their eyes out.
Yeah. Hmm. So it's a nice way to be. Yeah. It's really nice. And it was very nice to be included. And yeah,
absolutely. Sounds great. How was the big punchline? How was the house?
So
did you guys do a good house?
It turned out the moms just sat there and chit-chatted, and the girls all did their houses, and Catherine did an amazing job. Her house was, she's meticulous, and so she did, like, coconut flakes, and I watched her eat they had a lot of, what do you call those? They're, like, fruit by the foot, the fruit roll-ups.
Not the gumdrops.
Well, there was gumdrops, yeah. There was everything, Mary. There was every kind of decoration you could have, but Catherine was eating these fruit roll-up things, like, pounding them. We're watching her decorate, and the sugar was going in, like, you know, more than was getting on the house. So it was a very
My last question: did any of the walls cave in?
No.
I've been doing it wrong.
But
every time I've done a gingerbread house, it takes about 20 minutes for it to completely cave in.
Hers is still standing. We brought it home. Yeah, it's
luck. Beginner's luck.
Yeah, she had a
make sure there's no dogs around.
She put well, you know, they're elf. Puck is the name of their elf at their house. You know, the little elf that watches you.
Yeah.
Puck is sitting on their gingerbread house.
And okay, guarding
it. Hasn't caved. But I think because professionals assembled.
I see.
We didn't have to actually put the walls up.
That's ridiculous. This should be a full-on challenge from the ground up. You should not already have them assembled. It's not just a decorating contest. You have to see if the foundation will hold.
Now, Mary, have you ever decorated one?
Well, they come in the kits now.
Yeah.
So a lot of, you know, I did a little bit, but I just don't have the patience for it. But my son and his now wife, they've decorated them every year as a little project.
Did their walls cave in?
No, they did a pretty good job.
So I guess it is just me.
Yeah, I guess so.
I'm guessing that Justin is hasty. He seems like, Dave, doesn't he sound?
You got to have a lot of patience. Yeah. You really do.
I was putting a lot of frosting on it. I just didn't understand why that wasn't holding it. It was a mess, but it was fun. So,
well, anyway, we had fun, and it was nice to be included in the mom daughter thing. So, and I will tell you this: when you have a bunch of freshman girls and freshman moms around, the discussion is very scary. It's all about what parties have already had alcohol, what haven't. We're on the verge. A couple moms with older daughters said that next summer, the summer before sophomore year, is when it really kicks in, the danger. And so it was a little eye-opening. So hopefully
that sounds
they get invited
festive.
To the senior parties.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mary, aren't you glad those days are over for us?
I tell you,
Dave. Now, but now you got to worry about your granddaughters.
I know. Yeah. Don't go near them.
Coming up, the stories that matter with Dave Schwann from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
720 WGN, Justin Kaufman today. Steve back on Thursday with crews here. Mary Sandberg, Dave Ennett, Mary Vandeveld, Dave Schwann in for Steve Grzanich. Well, this week is going to be a busy week, of course, with holiday travel, not just at the airports, but on the roads. This is it's even starting today, I would think. People are starting to make their way to family and to destinations for their holiday plans. And that made us think about doing a segment about safe driving and winter driving, most importantly. Today it's going to be, I think I heard Schwann say that it's getting up to 50 degrees today in Chicago. But that doesn't mean that there's not going to be winter.
Mid-40s?
Close enough. I like to estimate. We're in the estimate.
Rounding up. I like it.
We're in the rounding up section of Miles' homework for math. So I'm applying some of that.
That should hold for tomorrow as well. Mid-40s,
really?
And in the mid-40s, perhaps on Thursday, but a little bit of rain on Thursday.
Oh, well, that's never good. So maybe that's a good hook. The rain will be coming through later in the week, so that's why we have Chicago All-State Agency owner Jose Fernandez in studio. Jose, good to see you.
Thank you so much for having us.
Congratulations, 3 years you've been an Allstate agent owner. How did you get into this?
Well, I started by coming first to Chicago and making myself part of Chicago. I was in Florida for like 20 years. I'm not originally from here. I'm from Venezuela originally. And then I moved here. My son got to play soccer for the Chicago Fire for a little bit. And then I decided to come and join him and so forth. So that's how I made it to Chicago. How I became an Allstate agent, one of the vendors, I was working for another insurance company, and one of the vendors recommend me to talk to Allstate because of the way they handle their business. And sure enough, I had an interview with a couple of executives from Allstate. They invited me over, and the rest is history. So,
I would assume in different parts of the country, there are heavy seasons for insurance and for accidents and things of that nature. And I would think that Chicago's season is right now, December and January with winter driving. Is that truth that right now is when you're going to see more claims because of the inclement weather?
Sure. You have many things, many hazardous conditions that come with the winter, right? Number one, wet weather. Makes a big challenge for drivers. You have to be very careful on the way that you drive during the winter season. Very careful. You have to adjust your car to any sort of weather. And so that's why you have peak seasons, and this is one of them, obviously.
Well, and like you were saying, it's 40. I don't know, Mayor, when you've been leaving your house, but when there's been that frost, everything is so slick and you necessarily even see it. Mm-hmm. And so you're at danger. You just have to be aware, I think, that this is part of the deal. Plus, people racing around. Yeah. We're all trying to get places, doing way too many things, trying to squeeze a lot of stuff in. And so I'm not always focused on driving.
Well, let's talk about, because there's a couple of ways you can look at this. One is getting your car weatherized and ready. And I would assume prevention is a big part of what Allstate preaches. But also avoiding the things that do present themselves during inclement weather, like collisions. So let's talk about first the part about weatherizing. You want to make sure that you have your car ready for the inclement weather.
Absolutely. First than anything else, safety comes first for Allstate and for us, because we're an insurance company per se, so we're trying to save lives and make sure that everybody has a very good experience, right?
Right.
So first than anything else, obviously, is check your car that is winterized, like meaning we have different tires type, different brakes, different things, dynamics in the car that comes in to this type of weather.
Also, the defrost, that part of your car needs to be working. You see people driving down the street where it's all fogged up and it doesn't like clear. You can't see. You need to have clear view everywhere.
And the windshield washer fluid, for sure.
Yeah, of course. For all the weatherizing that has to be done, my brother lives in California, and they live probably maybe an hour or two outside of Tahoe, and it's all mountains. And they have to change their tires on every season. They have to change from certain type of tire for the hot weather and to a chain type tire for the mountains in the winter.
Oh, wow.
So at least we don't have that.
Correct.
Right? But we do have some other issues like that. But then the other is just learning how to drive in those conditions, you know, avoiding collision, because God forbid you're ever in a position where you're skidding on black ice or you're doing something that, you know, obviously stuck in the weather or in the environment. How do you go forward on making sure people know how to drive in these kind of conditions?
Common sense is you have to allow yourself more time during the winter, space yourself longer because you are subject to wet weather. That's number one, right? The second thing is you have to plan your trip. You have to know how the weather, like the road conditions are, and the weather where you're in, and how to plan yourself accordingly. That's number one. Number two, speed, obviously. You slow down a little bit. You make sure that you drive less than 80 miles an hour, and that's important because of some things that Allstate is doing for drivers. Allstate has this very nice technology. It's called DriveWise. And it's an app that we have that we can monitor the way that you drive. So you're monitoring yourself. It's not somebody else is monitoring you. Mm-hmm. And you know how good you're driving. So there are certain rules on how to...
Are there, with that app, are there incentives? So if you do drive, if you constantly are driving under the speed limit and doing things, it's going to actually help you with your insurance rates?
Well, yeah, first than anything else, it gives you a discount from the beginning. Okay. It gives you like a 3% discount embedded into it. But on top of that, you gain points. The way you drive, you gain points so you can buy things at a discount rate and things of that nature. Right. So it's a very nice, and it actually measures three or four things because there are certain important things about driving. Number one, speed. Number two, the time of the day where you're driving. So there are more dangerous times, especially overnight.
Sure.
3-4 o'clock in the morning is very dangerous.
You said, Jose, drive under 80 miles an hour. Is that kind of the threshold? Is that because that's clearly above the speed limit?
That's highway speed. And you have to, and Allstate has recognized that when you're in the highway, you have to drive below 80 miles an hour. And actually, what it does, the app, it actually doesn't do anything to you. It just doesn't give you points that day that you're not driving. So it's basically curfew. You can see your family members. You can see, like, everybody in your policy. You can check how your kids are driving,
how your wife is driving.
I don't want to know how my kids are driving.
The kids are probably the selling point in that app, right?
Correct.
Yeah. All right, so as we wrap up, just talking about safe driving, did we hit all the points about, I feel like we hit it, right? I feel like we're good to go.
I think we did. And the most important part is that you have your car prepared for this weather. You take precautions, like have like a winter travel kit in your car, have flares, have blankets, have water. Make sure that your car is ready. It's checked by a mechanic. It's not like you say, oh, yes, it's perfect. No, go and check it with a mechanic and make sure that it's up to par too.
I'm going to replay this interview for my wife because she's always complaining about the number of blankets that I have in the back of the car. One is probably enough.
Sure.
But I've got four.
Okay.
And I think it's probably not about safe driving. It's just where to put a blanket when it's got to be removed from the house. And I'm like, we don't throw it away.
Put it in the trunk.
Just put it in the trunk. So I'm ready. I'm ready to help. I've got four blankets, different sizes and varieties. Jose Fernandez is a Chicago Allstate agent. We're talking about safe driving in the winter. Jose, where can they find you?
Sure. We're in Irving Park in Elston, 4044 Elston Avenue. Or telephone number 773-463-1932. Everybody's welcome. More than glad to help anybody that we can.
Great to see you. Thanks for coming in.
Absolutely, Justin. Thank you so much.
All right. Coming up, we got the most valuable person on the planet. Before we get there, let's find out what's coming up in the 7:30 news. Dave?
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
It's time for the most valuable person on the planet. We do it every day in the 720 segment, and today's no different. There are many people out there we have on... Well, every time we do the most valuable person on the planet, we have people who do good things, right? Do good things. Today, let's talk about not only someone who does good things, but also suggests good things and good deeds. We're talking to Brianna Zolfo. She is the owner over at the Crown Point Cafe Fresco, and she joins us now. Brianna, thanks for being here.
Thanks so much for having me.
So this is... Let's first start with you have... In the time that you've been in business in Crown Point, you've given away thousands and thousands of cups of coffee to strangers and people in need who are less fortunate. Why do you do that?
When I started the cafe, I wanted it to be a platform to be able to give back to people because I realized that just as a citizen, I wasn't able to give back as much as I had wanted to. And so it was something extra that we could do to show the community that we really support them and we really care about them because they're what makes our business what it is.
And so that's enough on its own, giving away some of your product for free to people who are less fortunate. That's enough to get you into the category of most valuable person on the planet. But as I mentioned, there are people who do good deeds, but then there are others who also do good deeds and suggest good deeds, and that's what you're on today for. Talk about what you're doing with your coffee cup sleeves.
So we started the coffee sleeve program because we had realized how many people go throughout their day without having any inspiration or not having any good parts in their day. And so we wanted to be that little bit of inspiration by writing on the coffee sleeve. So on the outside of the sleeve, we write an inspirational quote. And then on the inside of the sleeve, we have a pay it forward. So we just want to promote positivity and that community feel because we believe that every person is capable of changing the world. And so by doing that, every single person who walks into our cafe can change the world. They can do their small part, pass on that positivity that they receive in the morning.
And now, Justin, as a typical MVPP, they're very selfless. Brianne, you are taking no credit for this, is my understanding.
No, it's my employees and my customers, and they're the inspiration and motivation every day. It's just been amazing these 6 years of how much they've inspired me. And they're the reason that I do what I do every day. And they're completely what the cafe is all about. It's just been amazing.
Are you seeing people do the things that you suggest? Have you had any people come back and say, you know what, thanks for the suggestion. I did it yesterday.
Well, and they not only do that, they do the pay it forward and they take a picture. And then it just keeps spreading that positivity and goodness around the community. And there's also been people, there was a woman who was in boot camp in the military who had saved her sleeve and looked at it every morning when she was in boot camp. And she said, you don't know how much that inspirational quote meant to me. And we've had so many people come back and say, you don't know how much that quote changed my life, or you don't know how much that. And so it's those little positive things that every single person can do that really can just change someone's life.
And you guys also have taken the cafe's tip jar and used that to help people in the area. What did you do there?
Yeah, so every week we take the tip jar money and we donate it to people in our community. We've given clothes to homeless people. We've bought transportation. We've surprised people at the grocery store and bought their groceries. And it's just anyone who comes in, if we feel there's a need, then we reach out and do it because that's another way we can give back to the community and be that someone. And to surprise people is the most rewarding feeling, just to see their expressions on their face and see. Indescribable.
For you as a business in Crown Point, I mean, you are a business, and you know, obviously as a coffee shop, you need to pay attention to the bottom line. Why do this for your community? Obviously it makes you feel good, as you just mentioned, but where does that sense of community come from?
Well, I feel like if you can inspire people, you can, like, they're encouraged to support your business. If you know someone that's inspirational or motivational, like, they want to support you. People want to support other good people. And that's what the connection has been, because it's like I'm supporting so many good customers and so many good people. And in return, they're supporting me. And it's just about good people supporting good people. And I think we need more of that in the world, because we can get carried away with the negative or the bad in the world. But I think, like, good people supporting good is, it's the most amazing concept.
We have a texter from the 219 who says, also, their coffee is awesome. So your product is pretty good.
Well, that's what I had always said. And we don't just serve coffee. Like, I feel like 90% of our business is just, like, being in the community. And that's what our whole focus is. We just happen to serve coffee.
Oh, that's great. The cafe is Cafe Fresco in Crown Point, Indiana. Brianne Zolfo is our guest this morning and our most valuable person on the planet. Brianne, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it.
It was great meeting you. Thank you.
Yo, Crown Point. I love that town. That's a great little town.
It is. And she grew up in Crown Point. And it's nice to see, you know, in a world where everybody relocates, you know, to stay where you grew up and then make such a difference.
And I have to say this, and I know that this is But it's, you know, there are so many corporations that try to do this kind of thing. I think Starbucks comes to mind and others who will put inspirational quotes on coffee cups. And
kind bars.
Yeah, or on the bottom of your Chipotle burrito, whatever it might be.
Dove chocolates give you a little message.
Yeah, but, it means so much more coming from someone in the community who obviously is doing this for the local and for the people that live and in the community and are her neighbors. It's a great story, and that's why she was the most valuable person on the planet. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back here on the Steve Cochran Show, WGN Radio.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
720 WGN, the sun's up. The traffic is moving. Although there's still delays on some of the trains, the South Shore train and the Metro Electric, 30-40 minute delays as police continue their investigation of the shooting last night and then the subsequent killing as two police officers struck by train down in the train yard at 103rd, 130th and Cottage Grove. But yeah, we'll continue that story, and we'll, of course, that's going to be a story that's going to dominate the news in the upcoming days. But 312-981-7200 is our phone number. We continue our broadcast this morning, and it's time for another great. I mean, we have a lot of great segments about people doing great things this morning on WGN.
That's right. So on the show, Justin, as you know, we've met a lot of amazing people that have lost children to pediatric illnesses. Cancer, brain tumors, etc. And through that, we have found out that there's very little funding that goes into research for curing these things.
Right.
And so they've all had to create their own foundations in order to put money toward this research. And one of the families we've met is the family of Ross McNeil, who is a hockey-playing kid that lost his battle with a brain tumor 5 years ago. And so his mom, Kim McNeil, has been on the show with us multiple times. We talked to them the day after Stan Mikita passed because Ross and Stan had a great relationship. And so one of the things we haven't talked much about are to the siblings, usually because they are also kids. You know, they're siblings of kids that have gone. But Ross's sister, Rachel, is here today for the first time. She is 20 years old, and she's a sophomore at Miami of Ohio. And she is an artist. She's also a photographer. And if you follow her, she's gotten to take pictures of the Stanley Cup while she was at school. Great. She does some work with the Blackhawks and things like that. So welcome, Rachel. Thanks for coming in.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So she has from, well, first of all, tell us about your relationship with your brother.
Yeah, my mom and I were talking about this the other night because it's the holidays. It's such a, this was a great time of year for our family, but we used to have a rink in our backyard. Like, we used to skate. That's a good time of year. There's a lot of good memories.
Because you're a hockey sister. Once a hockey sister, always a hockey sister. Hockey takes over the whole family. And it's a tight community, so it makes you never want to leave it.
Oh, no.
And so one of the things that's important in hockey is the hats. And what do they call the hats, the players?
Oh, the toques.
The toques.
Yes.
Yeah. So the knit cap, you know, when you see the players, Dave, before a game, they come in with their suits on and things, but they're always wearing a knit hat, you know,
yep.
So that's what they're doing. So the first year that Ross passed, you came up with an idea. You were 15 years old. And what is that idea?
Yeah, we have hats with hearts. So my brother always wore a hat. He was a little chilly normally, but after all that his body had been through, it he gets a little colder, right? So after hockey practice, at school, whatever, the hat goes on, it's cozy. It's like he had good style, too. It was like he had a couple hats that he liked to wear. So I have hats with heart now. This is our fifth year doing it. And what we do, these hats are special because they, one, raise awareness. They're a $33 donation for pediatric brain tumor research. And they give a hat, a comfortable, cozy toque, to a brain tumor patient who is in the hospital over the holidays.
And so you've been doing these hats here. In Lurie's?
Yes.
And then you've branched out. You have two other hospitals?
Yes. This year, we're at Lurie. We're at Chapada Philadelphia and University of San Francisco, or California, San Francisco.
And the significance, Justin, about 33 is that was Ross's number. Mm-hmm. And so 33 has been a part of your lives in crazy ways. It keeps showing up as often it does when you lose somebody. 33 and the color orange. Those were Ross's big things, right?
Oh, so, yeah.
As you see, Rachel's wearing a orange tough
got sweat. Both of them on right
yeah,
now.
So she's that's a part of Ross's legacy.
Rachel, they're obviously to do this to honor the memory and legacy of your brother is special. To continue to do this, it takes work. And obviously, as it expands, it takes more and more work. How do you handle that with your school and everything else going on to continue to do this very, very important thing, but also live your life?
Yeah, I mean, this is something that's always going to be important to me because I lived this with my brother. So, yeah, I'm at school, but I want to make time to do, like, I'm in charge of our social media and our photography, and those are two things I love. And then combined that with honoring my brother's memory, that's, like, something I want to make time for while I'm away. Also, like, I work with my mom, so we plan when's going to work best for us to talk and get stuff out there. Because, yeah, we want to stay on top of things.
I know that she gives you, you know, being a photographer, Rachel is a perfectionist in editing, and mom will say, it's fine, just put it up there. And Rachel, you know, a little regular 20-year-old mom relationship. And your brother actually kind of commissioned you guys to do this. Before he, you know, passed, he had asked you guys, like, I want you to make sure no other kid has to go through this. So I don't think Rachel has an option. She has to find the time and make it happen.
I mean, that's the kind of stuff that is really a testament to my brother's character. Like, imagine this. My little brother sits my family down in our living room, and after we find out there's no more treatment that he can go through, thanks us. And how powerful is that? He wants our family to make a promise to him to not let other kids go through what he's been through. That's incredible. So, yeah, that's not something I'm going to give up on.
As you mentioned at the beginning of the segment, Mary, that you know, there's far too many organizations and foundations have to do this work because the lack of funding and research and other things that go into pediatric cancer and tumor research. You know, when you go through this and you raise this money and you continue to honor the legacy and like your brother said, he doesn't want other kids to have to go through this. Is that in the back of your mind that this is work you have to do almost in the private sector because the public sector is letting us down?
Absolutely. And the most amazing thing about this research is the more I learn about, I mean, I'm not a doctor by any means, but what I've learned through these years in the foundation is it is feasible to cure this with the kind of funding that we are helping with. It can happen. And there is research out there that is getting really close to figuring out how to cure and help this disease even more.
I think, Justin, the first time we had your mom and Rachel, that we had learned that the treatment that Ross was getting was, like, developed in 1960. It hadn't been, you know, they weren't even doing new chemo. Right. You know, that was what he was up against, you know. So we're in the 2000s, you know. So that's just, it's disappointing on our government's end that that's not where the money goes.
Well, as you, this is, you said this coming up on the fifth year,
mm-hmm.
It's the fifth year of this. Do you feel that there are inroads being made? Do you feel like because of the work that you're doing and the continued fight for this and for your brother's legacy that you are seeing at least a push forward?
Absolutely. And so we've funded Lurie Children's, and this year we're bringing on for Hats with Heart, but also in general our research funding, CHOP out of Philadelphia, and the CBTTC and University of San Francisco, California. What they're doing is working together with other hospitals and having tissue banks that are accessible from other hospitals. So you have this compiled joint research that's happening. It's something that even I can understand would make sense to advance research.
Right, to do it together. We've talked about this. We just had the hospital people in, right around here, about how working together, it makes sense.
We're all
studying the same stuff, share information, and that could only good can come from that.
You know, as we do hit the holiday season, and as you mentioned, there's a lot of great memories. And I thought that it was a great way to think about that, too, that, you know, we had a guest in yesterday talked about this being a hard time. It is a hard time when you lose a loved one. But in your case, as you just mentioned, you seem to focus more on the good memories that came from the holidays.
I think that's, of course, it's hard. Holidays are hard for a lot of people, but the great thing my family does is we can talk about my brother, and Ross is my brother. That's our family. This is how it looks now. It's different, but we have awesome memories growing up. So like when we're going to get a little bit of snow here in the next couple of weeks, like my brother loved snow and skating outside in the snow. So focusing on those good things, I mean, that's the only way we're going to get through a tough holiday.
It's an amazing attitude to have. I mean, that's like refreshing. So the website is r33m.org. What can we do to help you with your Hat for Heart?
Yeah, Hats with Heart, you just go into our website, you go to our store, and in the store we have a Hats with Heart part, and you make a $33 donation through that link. It's also in our social media.
Somebody gets a hat.
Yes, and a child gets, you make the donation, and a child at one of the three hospitals gets that hat.
And you bring the hats.
We're wrapping them in a couple weeks. I think next Friday we're going to Lurie Children's to wrap.
Wow. This, yeah. Rachel, thanks so much for being here. Great. It's amazing. Again, the website is r33m.org, and it's the 5th annual Hats with Heart, which is in honor of your brother.
Yeah. And good for you. At 15, cancer. She started, you know, that was her first kickoff of the hats, and it's just only getting bigger and doing incredible things there. So
thank
you.
Gotta keep that promise.
Yeah.
There you go. Thanks, Rachel. Okay. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
It's good to be king just for a while.
312-981-7200's phone number. Dean Richards coming up in the 8 o'clock hour.
Speaking of Dean Richards, what you were talking with Rachel McNeil off the air is that she also shares an appreciation for The Rock.
Yeah.
Like you.
Like me. For our Christmas presents, Steve Cochran got me all The Rock. Everything The Rock.
There was a Rock action figure.
Yeah.
There was a Rock face mask. I believe a Rock sweatshirt. Is that what that was?
Jingle Bell Rock.
Jingle Bell Rock. Oh, okay. I gotcha. My goodness. That is a thoughtful gift.
Yeah,
Steve Cochran really took some time on this. And your son was wearing all of it.
He took my son. Yeah, he likes The Rock as well, so he was more invested.
It's not an option for him not to like The Rock at your house.
It was funny because there was you guys make it like I'm some super fan of The Rock. One time I said, The Rock is great. I love The Rock.
And I think obsessed would be the word.
Yeah, I would say. Dave, does he not light up when we talk about The Rock in here?
He's rock-centric.
This is crazy. But there's funny because there was a action figure. But the action figure was of The Rock, the wrestler. People forget he was, wrestling fans don't. But people forget, the casual Rock fan, that he was the wrestler, a champion wrestler for WWE. And Miles grabbed it, and he's like, why doesn't he have clothes on? Because Miles, he's 11. He missed the entire Rock wrestler phenomenon. He doesn't recognize that that was a thing before The Rock now is a thing.
He only knows him as the superstar actor.
Jumanji thing. Rock.
Yeah. Host of the Titans. Right. I can't wait for that.
How does that guy have any time to do that?
I don't know. And that action figure, it had his torso. It could, he can do crunches. Like, the torso bends. It's the weirdest thing I've
ever
seen.
Yeah, it was a very weird, there's a lot of pelvic things going on with that action figure where you're like, I don't know if that's the grip we're looking for. So thank you once again, Steve.
Steve bought it for you because you're obsessed with The Rock.
Yeah, right.
Who else is getting that action figure? Yeah. Who else is at the store?
I hope he got a good deal.
Looking for the Rock action figure.
My guess is he just went to the Rock bargain bin and found all the discards.
Went to Rocks R Us.
Right. I'm surprised there wasn't like a Journey to the Center of the Earth 2 t-shirt that was a part of that or something like that. All right, coming up, Dean Richards. He's coming up here on 720 WGN right after we hear from Dave Schwann, who's in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world,
some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah,
WGN, it's time for more on entertainment. Dean Richards. Good morning, bud.
More. On.
My Instagram and social media yesterday was inundated with you eating deep dish pizza with Steve Carell. Oh my God, I saw it like 6 times.
Really?
Yeah, it was all over the place.
I want to know how much actual pizza was eaten and how much was just fake for ambiance.
He chowed down like he was on death row.
How did this happen? Is this he's in town promoting a movie?
He has a new movie that's directed by Chicagoan Robert Zemeckis. Mm-hmm. They were both in town yesterday, and a couple of weeks ago, I ran into Steve in Los Angeles.
Right.
We were just talking, and he was saying how much he misses Chicago this time of year, especially in how much he misses the food here. Because, you know, he was at Second City here for quite a long time. And I made a little mental note of the foods that he said that he misses. And when he, I knew he was going to be coming to town yesterday, I assembled Lou Malnati's pizza for him, Portillo's Chicago-style hot dogs, Portillo's Italian beef, Portillo's chocolate cake, Eli's cheesecake, and Garrett's popcorn.
Oh, my God. Those are like my dream meal right there.
Someone went to Tastes of Chicago.
Yeah, well, this was all fully prepared and ready. You know, that's frozen, the Taste of Chicago, which is great. And Steve has said that he does have it shipped to him in Los Angeles. That's how much he loves it. But, you know,
I bet he uses Lou to go.
This was all piping hot, and he didn't know that I was doing
all
this.
What was his response when he walked in?
He was like, oh, my God, I can't believe it. He starts laughing, and we put it all on a big room service cart, and I wheel it in to him, and he can't even talk. And, you know, I wheel it in front of him, and you may as well have heard angel harps behind him. He was just in heaven. And, you know, a lot of times when, you know, you do these little pranks with the stars, they're like, oh, this is so great. And then they put the stuff aside and never touch it again. He dug in right away.
That is awesome. That makes him
dug
even cooler.
In. He was not shy. Scarfed down some Lou Malnati's, scarfed down some Portillo's. He had never had the Portillo's chocolate cake before.
Oh, my God.
I can't wait to see the interview.
Which is life-changing.
Because it's just, and especially if you have to do any editing, and there'll be one where he's talking and the other with
the
a mouthful of
mouth.
Food.
Right. Yeah. Did anyone eat any of the Garrett's?
Oh, yeah. Oh, of course. Yeah.
I love that. That popcorn is.
Yeah, it's the greatest. And we had Chicago mix of the cheese and caramel.
That's the best.
And I was very fastidious because I've become a germaphobe.
Okay.
You know, people started to put their hands. I was like,
good for you.
Garrett's gives you a little scooper thing now.
Yep.
So you can, like, scoop it, and they give you these little bags so you can fill up your own little bag.
Whenever we have it here, Dean, it's funny that you mentioned that. There's always a big pile of little bags sitting there, and everyone's just sticking their hands in the tin.
Yeah,
and
that's
like,
so gross.
It's disgusting.
That's disgusting.
Yeah.
You may as well just take your tongue and lick the top of the popcorn.
This segment went...
That's how you eat popcorn. Dig your hands in.
At your house in
your own
bowl.
If it's your own bucket, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But this was a 5-gallon bucket.
Yeah, no, you can't be
this
hands
became
going
a,
in.
This
was communal.
A Garrett's popcorn etiquette segment as opposed to a Steve Carell interview segment.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, he had a little of everything. And then, you know, we did the interview. And his people are like, Steve, come on, we got to go. We got to catch a plane. It's like, okay, hang on a second. He's still eating. He didn't want to get up, and he's talking. You know, just small talk. He's one of the nicest A-listers ever. He's, you know, just about Tom Hanks level of, you know, personability. He's such a nice guy. And we sat there and ate pizza together and, you know, cake.
That's awesome. What a great.
Disgusting. It's on my Facebook page, Dean Richards, WGN on Facebook. And it'll be on Instagram and Twitter and all
the
rest.
It's a good move by you. That was a good bit.
It's fun.
Right?
Yeah, it was fun. I knew he would. I'll tell you the look of the gratification that I have of this. The look on his face when I walked in the room, worth all the trouble that we went to.
That's what I was just about to
ask you. Put everything together, coordinate the food getting there on time, making sure everything was hot and delicious and edible and all that. When the look on his face and when I saw how much he enjoyed it, 100% worth it.
So, Dean, you do so many interviews. You've done a million, you know, in your whole career. And so it gets boring. And you come up with ideas like this. And then there's a committee of no that you work with that say, oh, no, this can't happen. We won't do it.
Surprisingly, I didn't get that yesterday.
Oh, well, that's good to hear. But I could tell the food was hot. And that is a difference maker. Because a lot of times you see food on TV and you can tell, there was one time there was pizza on a show that used to be opposite of you guys, Dean, and now is in the afternoon, and the pizza was freezing cold. I could tell on the set, I'm like, this is not believable. These people are not enjoying this pizza because the pizza looks cold. Yeah.
No, Steve took a bite into one piece of Lou Malnati's. He was like, are you kidding me?
Oh.
Because I've had their frozen also, and their frozen is also very good.
It is.
But it's not like when it comes right from the
right from the pizza shop. Right. Good for you, Dean.
All right, so we got some more entertainment stuff to talk about. Les Moonves, Pete Davidson.
I hope Dean's eating pizza with all of them. That's what I'm hoping.
Yeah, Les Moonves loves pepperoni.
He really does. All right, so we'll do that, but let's quick get an update from Dave Schwann on what's coming up in the 8:30 news. Dave?
You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richard, the entertainment editor. Channel 9720.
Continuing more on entertainment here on 720 WGN. Dean Richards, let's talk about Pete Davidson. Of course, we talked a little bit about him yesterday, that a harrowing day on Saturday where he went to Instagram, said that he didn't want to be on this earth. He was taken off of. Now more comes out about this story that sketches were removed. He was removed from the broadcast. He showed up a little bit on Saturday Night Live just to introduce a musical guest. But where are we with this case, which it seems like it just seems to trickle more and more information about this past weekend.
Yeah, a little more that's come out that Lorne Michaels, the legendary producer of that show, pulled Pete Davidson from the show. So he would mostly have the night off. He did put him in for the brief introduction to Miley Cyrus. But it's also been revealed from sources that Lorne Michaels has offered to send Pete for therapy and to get the help that he obviously needs, which I think is pretty nice. We don't know what his future is going to be on the show. They don't have live shows for a while now, so it's a good time for something like this to happen, I suppose. One of the more interesting things that did happen yesterday is, you know, people were rallying around Pete Davidson for support. His ex-girlfriend, Ariana Grande, shows up at NBC. Because she had also heard about what happened. She Instagrammed him that she's there for him, which I think is weird, don't you?
Yeah.
That, you know, somebody that you were engaged to is going through something traumatic and you want to say that I'm here for you, I care. You don't pick up the phone. You don't send a personal text. You feel like the best avenue for that is to put it on Instagram
comments. Well, she may have done that also,
maybe.
But maybe this is just so everybody knows, hey, I
look how great I am.
Yeah.
Is how it looks to me. Look how benevolent I'm being to somebody with whom I've broke up. Right. But anyway, she shows up at NBC and sends him an Instagram post that I'm just downstairs, and he refused to see her. He didn't want to see her. You know, that whole drama is continuing as well. Doesn't that make it worse?
Yeah. I don't know.
If that's the source of the...
It adds to his stress, you know?
I would think.
Yeah.
Makes him more anxious.
With the idea that this all happened on Saturday, and then you have a live television show where millions and millions of people are going to watch. I think it's a pretty stressful story to consume, to be honest. There's a lot in there because you see the comments that are on all these stories, even people that are texting in now, like when an immature brat, oh, he just did this for attention, and you're like, what do I know? I don't know this guy.
Right, you have no idea his wiring. Right. And, you know, she has, I can see if I were her, I'd be a little self-conscious. I had an ex-boyfriend just die of an overdose that I was unable to help, and now I have an ex-fiance who seems to be struggling. I would just be, you know, she may just be concerned, you know.
What I thought, Dean, was interesting about that story was that this is a cutthroat environment. It's cutthroat to be in Hollywood, to be on Saturday Night Live, to be in comedy. But to see how the cast, specifically, I think to call out Colin Jost and Michael Che, are very protective of Pete Davidson, and they're very aware of his condition. They all kind of rally around him, and I thought that was kind of special.
Yeah, rapper Machine Gun Kelly actually flew into New York when he had heard what happened, dropped everything that he was doing to fly to New York, and he was the one that was literally was by Pete Davidson's side during that whole, you know, Saturday night, and got him through the night and, you know, so forth. It's a tough thing, and even tougher that it's all being played out.
Yeah, I know, right?
You know, maybe we contribute to it also by talking about this. You know, it's something that he needs to deal with personally and privately, and it doesn't help that his personal business, some very severe personal business like this, has to play out in national news.
Yeah, especially, I mean, and and it played out publicly, meaning putting it on Instagram as opposed to
right.
dealing with it. All right, so let's talk about Les Moonves. CBS pulls the plug on his severance package.
Just one cheery story after another right. today.
Well, they did the investigation on his on claims of sexual harassment and allegations of misconduct, and they came back and said, "Yeah, it's there, and we don't have to. We don't owe you anything."
They also believe, according to the New York Times, they also believe that he deliberately misled investigators. And that he destroyed evidence. The board is saying that he was uncooperative, and there indeed were grounds to terminate him. He had a severance package that, you know, if he got fired, he would have received quite a bit of money. But CBS Board of Directors says this was all absolutely warranted. And they are denying him his $120 million severance package.
Is this going to play out in courts now? I would assume that Moonves, who came out and said he's
denying it.
Denying everything.
He's denying all the allegations. So I assume that, yes, this will. Yeah. They haven't said for sure, but I'd be shocked if it didn't go to court.
It's one thing because I think a lot of people will go, that's great that someone who's been accused of these things and if there was evidence that it did indeed happen, it's great that they didn't get paid out. You see this all the time, bad behavior, and then they get hundreds of millions of dollars. But on the other hand, CBS just, you know, I don't think that they're standing up for the victims in this case. I mean, they just don't want to give $120 million.
Well, they're protecting themselves, and I think they're also trying to, you know, make a precedent about their stance on how they will deal with these kinds of things, because a lot of on and off the air people there are saying, you know, we're not sure that we want to work at CBS, depending on how they handle all this. Right.
Then the final story, which is one that we've been following closely, breaking news, Carlton.
Yep.
From Fresh Prince, Carlton.
The nerdy cousin from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air is also involved in a messy lawsuit against the makers of Fortnite because apparently they have step for step copied his famous Carlton dance moves.
Yeah.
He says without permission of the use of his likeness, without consideration of intellectual property. They just went ahead and took it, according to him. And he is suing them for an undisclosed amount. The Epic and 2K video game makers for the use of his likeness in all of this. There's been no comment from either side. I imagine we'll be hearing plenty about this in court also.
So, Dean, we have a Fortnite player in our house, and he does that dance, and he doesn't even know it's the Carlton. We had to tell him that it was the Carlton. And even if you go on Instagram and you do a post, if you want to type in a Fortnite and put those little stickers, the little dancing things that go on it, it comes up as a Fortnite dancer now. It's not even the Carlton.
It's not even considered Carlton.
So he's right to be concerned. His legacy is
It's being erased. But, and I'm sure that he doesn't care that somebody's that it lives on. But his likeness and his intellectual property, then he should be compensated for it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you hit them all.
That's how it was when Steve invented that dance many years ago, the hump. I don't know if you remember
the hump,
that.
Right.
All the kids were doing that dance, the hump, many years ago. And I believe that Steve will be doing it on New Year's Eve at the Tivoli.
That's right.
In Downers Grove.
Oh, my God.
It's worth the price of admission.
I want them all to end with the Carlton, actually. I want
that would be fantastic.
Wouldn't
if they ended the show that way.
I love it.
Dun, da-da, dun, da-da, it's not unusual. New Year's Eve.
New Year's Eve. You can see it.
Is it freshbright.com? I barely heard Steve mention it.
Yeah, right. Eventbrite at Tivoli.
Fresh Bright. Fresh Bright is a cleanser, I think.
Yeah. Oh, that's good stuff.
All right. Thanks, Dean.
See you guys.
There you go. Yes, the New Year's Eve show with Dean Richards, Steve Cochran, John DeCoss, and a myriad of players at the Tivoli.
They have got to end with
it's a great idea.
What do you call it when everyone comes out for something?
Curtain call.
Yeah, curtain call. Carlton dancing.
Yeah.
All of them.
I'd pay for a live stream of that.
Yeah.
I just come at the end.
Yeah. I agree, Mayor.
Just to see that.
All right. Coming up, we were going to talk with Coach Jeremy Colleton about the Blackhawks tonight taking on the Preds. So we'll have that conversation right after the news. So stay with us.
Here come the Hawks, the mighty Blackhawks. Take the attack. Yeah. And we'll back you, Blackhawks. You're flying high now. So let's wrap it up. Let's go.
Here come the Hawks, the Chicago Blackhawks tonight. hosting the Nashville Predators. This has become a nice little rivalry. The Blackhawks got to get back on that because a couple years ago when we won the Cup, the last Cup of 15, it was the Predators we bounced in the first round, and that's when they pulled that, we don't want Blackhawks fans to come down here.
Right.
That's right.
And I was just at that point, I was like, all right, this is the, you know, I know we got it in for the Blues, used to be the Red Wings, but this should be our rival.
I'm a little bit guilty of not hating Nashville because I like Carrie Underwood, which I know is like not a really reasonable thing to.
Oh, I think that's reasonable, Mary.
And every time she sings the anthem for them, I get excited. And so I have to like separate myself and say, no, I want the Blackhawks to win.
Also, I can't. I'm out to lunch a little bit on whether or not I like where their stadium is at in Nashville because it's right on the strip. It's right on Broadway. Yeah. And so you're like, this is so cool. But then I'm like, is it? Like, I could go for like two more country bars instead of the stadium.
Well, there's one like 20 feet away, so you don't have to go very far.
I know, but I just
feel
like...
Or a boot store. There's boot stores
all over. I want more boot stores, and I want more country music, live music bars on Broadway that are not playing country music.
I have an issue with the signage inside that stadium because it's all those big yellow placards that just say pizza, burgers, hot dogs. Like, it doesn't say, it's not like brands of things.
You want details.
I do.
See?
Exactly, Dave.
We're doing our best here on WGN Radio to really set this rivalry up. I mean, all the things that we don't like about the Nashville Predators. If you want to get in on the action, 312-981-7200. Maybe our next guest has something to say about the Predators as well. Coach Jeremy Colleton joins us as he does every week. Coach, thanks for joining us.
Morning, Dave. How are you?
Good morning.
So let's get right to it. Corey Crawford, big loss. You know, obviously, it's the concussion scene now around Chicago. Everyone's seen the video of this. A tough loss for Corey Crawford coming off of the injury last year. What do you do? What do you do to motivate the team?
Well, I think the only thing we can do is keep playing. It's certainly unfortunate for Corey. Feel bad for him, and he's a big part of the group. But the training staff, they'll work together with him and try and get him back as soon as possible. But you know, the guys who are playing, we got a job to do. So it's an opportunity for Cam and for Colin Delia to show they can help us, and I think they can.
Jeremy, I know there's not a ton you can tell us about how Corey is. Is there anything you can say as far as how he's feeling or just kind of where things are at with him right now?
Not really. I mean, right now it's he's just resting, and that's the most important thing you can do, right after a concussion. So that's about all I can give you.
Yeah. Well, hopefully, I think everybody's just wishing him the best and hope he makes a quick recovery. Did you sense that affected your guys the other night after that happened? Because really it was one of the best first periods you've had since you've become the coach.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I think we, regardless of the reason, we didn't play how we'd like to play in the last half or last two periods of the game. Got ourselves in a good position off the start, but I think we just, call it compete level or work ethic or whatever it is, we weren't able to match San Jose's push the last couple periods, and that's really what we're, when we're looking ahead to tonight, that's the starting point. We gotta be able to right off the start be engaged and committed, and hopefully we can do that tonight.
Well, the nice thing is, Jeremy, in all of these games, you guys are scoring goals. Like, this isn't a shutout after shutout, So we're able to get on the board, so it's just a matter of getting on the board first and staying ahead of the other team. Mm-hmm. Since you were a player, something like a concussion or injury, are you, when you play and someone gets hurt in a game, are you then aware of, like, I don't want to get hurt?
No, I don't think so. It's, when you're, you realize it's part of the game and you don't like seeing it, and especially when it's a teammate, but I don't really think it affects you as far as being worried about going into the battle. yeah, I don't think that's an issue.
Okay, so the Predators, it's fallen a little bit in the last couple weeks, but they're still one of the premier teams in the NHL. The Jets really are flying high right now. But what do you do to stop a team like the Preds? They obviously have a lot of speed, and they've been playing at a high level for a couple of years now. So what's the scouting report? What do you have to do tonight to take this team?
Yeah, right. Well, they have an excellent group of defensemen. That's probably what you'd think of first and foremost regarding their team. We'd like to make them defend. We'd like them to have to, you know, compete in their half of the ice and make plays under pressure. And we'd like to be in our zone as little as possible because they're pretty good on the blue line. They find a way to get pucks to the net and make plays back there. So that's something that we'll certainly talk about, is trying to limit, you know, those opportunities where they're standing on the blue line and teeing off against us.
They've had some injuries they've had to deal with as well, but they picked up a point last night, tied Winnipeg for first. You've had a couple of young guys who have come on the scene here recently. We saw Dylan Secure a little bit last year. He's played a few games for you. What have you seen from him so far?
Yeah, I've been really happy with his play. Excellent, you know, work ethic away from the puck. He's really skating well and creating turnovers. And, you know, the Perlini goal last game, great example. Like, mm-hmm. He just found a way to win a race and beat his guy to the net, and the puck ended up going in. So that's a really good sign to me that I think he's really increased the pace of his game since, you know, the beginning of this season. And hopefully he can continue to do that because he's got a lot of natural ability and he can make plays for us.
Jeremy, the other guy I wanted to ask you about is Connor Murphy, who obviously got off to a late start this year because of the injury. Now you've had some time watching him out there. What do you think so far he's given you on the back end?
Yeah, he's been a very nice addition to our team. You know, obviously we missed him for a while there. Plays physical. Very committed, you know, active, cares a lot. He's played some hard minutes for us, and you know, we kind of threw him right into the fire as far as the matchups and responsibility. And I think he's done a great job. And he's another guy. He's still a young guy, so I think he's going to continue to improve.
Jeremy, I know you guys had your holiday party yesterday. Was your family able to come in for that?
Yeah, they were, Mary. Thank you. They were my two boys were skating, and my littlest one was there not skating, but no, it was excellent. We had a good day. I think it was good for everyone just to spend some time with the families and each other, and really great event put on by the organization. Obviously, the Wurtzes they do a great job.
There it's nice to have the good family. Yeah. It's a family is what's the most important, you know, in those relationships. So it's nice to not talk about work and just enjoy each other.
That's true.
And then how cool if for your sons to be able to skate around on that ice is just, got to be incredible.
Yeah, it was. It was fun. Fun to watch. They had a great time.
Well, Coach Jeremy Carlton, take on the Hawks tonight, taking on the Preds. Then you got the Stars, the Avalanche, and the Wild coming up. So there's a lot of divisional games, and we'll pay close attention to how the Hawks do. Thanks for joining us, bud.
Thanks a lot. Take care. Thank you.
There you go. I'm not joking. There's a lot of big divisional games coming up. This could make or break. Obviously, the Hawks without Crawford is tough, but you know, if they can put a string together here, things will be looking up going into the Winter Classic, which is of course on New Year's Day.
Well, the way the injured reserve works, so Corey Crawford is out at least the next four games, based on how the schedule falls, because you're out a certain length of time.
Yeah, right. Like
they have
DL
the break
baseball.
Over
yeah.
Christmas
right.
for a few days, so you could come back on the 27th for that game against Minnesota, which is two games before that Winter Classic. I have no idea if we're going to see him then or we're going to see him anytime soon. Well, obviously, we got to ask the question,
yeah.
and obviously, there isn't much that he can tell us right now, and that's sort of how these things go.
That's so tricky.
And
it's something that we're obviously far too familiar with him.
Well, and I know
the last couple of years
he can't answer. He won't. Right. He wouldn't say this anyway, and nobody for the team would. But I think if I was a player on the ice, knowing the history, and he hits his head, you're thinking, you're talking career, you know, like you're worried. You're worried.
Sure.
They're worried, and I don't think that goes out of your head. I mean, he was out for, what, how long was he out for?
Well, he basically was a year ago this week or next week that he suffered the injury and missed the rest of last season. And,
I mean, we're talking about his life post.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
This isn't even about the game.
It's not about the game. It's not about what day he comes back. This is just the formality of explaining how it happens. But, yeah, I mean, you have to be concerned about it. And you just, there's so many unknowns still with this stuff.
I'm okay with sputtering against some other teams, but just beat the Preds tonight.
Beat Preds, yeah. Right. Well, I'm going on Sunday, so I would like them to win then, too. Just
all right, there you go.
We like to do a little Chelsea Dagger dancing while we're there.
Say, 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 hey, hey, now, baby.
The Steve Cochran Show.
Oh, my mind, I'm playing now, baby.
On 720 WGN.
Say, say, coming up, say, hey, Adam Hogue. Now, you watch the tape. It's my favorite part of the week because Adam sits down and he watches the Bears game again. Which I have a fantasy where I would do that.
Oh.
You know, like you watch a game, and I have it automatically DVR, and I have a fantasy that like the next day I'm going to watch again. I'm going to pause. I'll look what this linebacker's doing. I never do.
That's how I watched the game this past Sunday because my flight landed around 11. By the time I got home, I knew the game would be going. We had a couple of stops we had to make on the way back from the airport, so I avoided every TV in the concourse. I avoided, stopped in a store. The game was on. I just covered my eyes, didn't listen, walked away, got home, didn't look at Twitter, didn't look at my phone.
Right.
I'm getting texts about the game, didn't look at any of that.
Yeah, you
got home.
Down.
When I was ready, started to watch the game. I'd replay if I wanted to see something, replayed it. It was great.
I have a great story about that.
It gets watched multiple times in our house.
It does?
Yeah, and my husband has a service where he can watch it online, too, in 45 minutes with all the commercials and timeouts taken out.
Yeah, that's good. I should get that service.
Yeah.
I'll tell the story. Back in 2000, I think it was 2001 when the Bears with Dick Geron and Jim Miller at the quarterback and Marty Booker and Urlacher, they went to the playoffs, and the playoff game was kind of a surprise, and we had gotten tickets for both of our, we were dating at the time, my wife and I, and we had gotten tickets for both sets of the family, the parents, to go to see a Broadway show down on Broadway, not in New York, here on Randolph, right? And it was a big deal. John Lithgow, Brian D'Arcy James, big deal. But then the Bears announced the game, and it was opposite that show, and I'm like, what? And we're gonna go to a show instead of watch a Bears playoff game, which we were starved at that time for anything. So I did, but this was before DVRs. This was, you had the VHS and the whole bit. And so I did the same thing where I'm going to go and I'm going to keep my head down. I'm going to try my best not to do this. So I knew friends of the family, Brian D'Arcy James, who's a big actor on Broadway, he was in it. And at the intermission, he came out to say hi, which was awesome, right? My family gets to see the guy who's acting in it halfway through the show. How great is that? First thing he says to me is, he goes, Bears are losing 7-3. I throttled him. Like, out of reaction, I, like, actually put my hands on him. I put my hands, like, on his shoulders. Like, I will kill you. Like, I was just like, what are you doing? And, like, everyone in the theater intermission is like, is that the actor? And is this guy manhandling the actor? Is he mad at the actor? Like,
I was like, do you remember? So that was Bears-Eagles, right?
Yes, right.
So wasn't that the same day as Michael Jordan's comeback at the United Center with Washington?
Right. There was a lot going on that
day.
I did not tape that game.
And you were at the theater.
I was at the theater.
Manhandling the actor
that made
a point of.
And then my brother, he watched the game, and he lived around the corner from me at the time. And so I made everybody come back after the theater, and we watched the game, and it was like a playoff environment. And all my parents wanted to do, and her parents was talking, I'm like, hey, find somewhere else to do that. Yeah. I'm yelling at the TV for 3 hours.
Yeah.
And my brother called, or he rang the doorbell like he wanted to come up, and it was after the game, and I wouldn't let him in the house because I knew that if they lost, he would give some attitude, some smug attitude, or if he'd win, he'd give a wink. And I'm like, I don't want it. So it was like, to this day, he's still mad that I would not answer the door. I would not buzz the door up to let him in. So anyway, coming up, Stories That Matter with Dave Schwann from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio, and then Adam Hogue. Stay with us. It's the Steve Cochran Show here on 720 WGN and CLTV. Good morning. Steve's back on Thursday. Gang's here. Dave Bennett, Mary Sandberg, Mary Vendeville, myself, Justin Kaufman. 312-981-7200. Joining us now, as he does every Tuesday morning, to break down what he saw from the Sunday Bears game, the Bears throttling of the Green Bay Packers, is our Bears insider, Adam Hogue. You can find all his stuff at WGNradio.com/Bears. Adam!
Morning, everyone.
Hey, Adam, I think Justin, you know, wasn't on the show last year at this time, but I think Dave and I could both witness that at this time last year, we were canceling our Adam Hogue segment. Because we
didn't want to talk
Steve
about
didn't want to talk about the Bears because there was nothing to talk about, you know. And here we are.
Yeah, that was true.
Wow,
and we were talking and we were talking about who's the next head coach and where are the Bears going to end up picking in the draft.
It's amazing to watch yesterday, to watch a full day of sports programming, you know, watching ESPN and all the different shows. The Bears were a highlight, and really the question is, are they for real? Are they a Super Bowl contender? And many of the national media said no, overreaction, that kind of thing. But it's surprising to me, to like Mary said, to think that just a year ago we were talking about this team being 500, and now we're talking about Super Bowl.
Yeah, it was fun last night watching a game between the Panthers and Saints, and realizing that it has a lot of significance to the Bears in terms of potential playoff matchups. Because had the Saints lost, the Bears had a somewhat realistic chance to maybe catch the Saints, which is huge because Drew Brees and Sean Payton have never lost a game at home in the playoffs. I mean, these are the conversations we're having now. Now the Saints win, and that's going to make the road to the Super Bowl harder because it'll likely have to go through the Superdome in New Orleans for the Bears, and that's not going to be easy to beat them. But just to be able to have these conversations right now, I've been running a poll the last 2 weeks. Which potential wild card opponent are you most worried about? Last week, the answer was overwhelmingly the Seahawks, and now I ran it again this week, and now the Seahawks and Vikings are more neck and neck,
right,
because
right.
That's the week-to-week nature of the NFL.
Yeah, and, you know, it's one of those deals where, and I think, Justin, this was the first thing I said to you when we came in yesterday morning. I said, you look around, who do you really fear if you're the Bears? The Saints? Absolutely. A rematch with the Rams in L.A. if that happens? Yeah, maybe, but you did handle them pretty well. I mean, that's kind of where they are, Adam. I mean, I think you look around and, yeah, I mean, obviously upsets happen in the playoffs, and I don't even know if the Bears would be favored necessarily. But I think that you have to really like their opportunity here, especially with the attitude that I think Matt Nagy's instilled in this team. You could just sense it, that they are really thinking beyond just winning the division.
Well, just look at the Eagles last year. It really has so much to do with how you're playing when the playoffs start. And the Eagles were able to overcome not having their starting quarterback last year because they were just so in sync, and they were really fueled by the idea that they're the underdog, even though they were the number one seed. But everyone had them as the underdog. Vegas had them as the underdog because they didn't have Carson Wentz, and that fueled them. So there's so many factors and storylines that go into these playoff matchups. I would say the Eagles would be a team that would be somewhat dangerous as a sixth seed coming to Soldier Field, just because a lot of those players are still the players that won the Super Bowl last year, and that underdog thing with Nick Foles is all going to happen again, and it could fuel them. Also with the Vikings, let's give it more than 1 week. But, man, they fired their offensive coordinator, and all of a sudden they're putting up 40 points. So that could be somewhat worrisome,
too. At the Dolphins at home, but okay.
True, but are they going to be a different offensive team than they were when they came to Soldier Field a month ago and the Bears handled them easily? I would still take the Bears' defense in any of these matchups, but things can look a lot different than they do right now, 2 weeks from now, when we have to figure out which one of these opponents is going to come to Soldier Field.
A lot of these teams in the NFL that were defensive teams have faded away. The Jacksonville Jaguars, even the Minnesota Vikings to a certain extent. The Bears are the real contenders when it comes to defensive football entering the playoffs. From the tape yesterday, does it hold up? Was the Bears' defense as good as we remember from Sunday afternoon?
Yeah, I mean, there were a couple times where guys were open and Aaron Rodgers missed them. I counted 3 downfield throws that were just straight misses by Aaron Rodgers, and it's sort of odd to see him miss those. So, something is different there with the Packers this year and their offense and Aaron Rodgers. That being said, for the great majority of the game, the Bears defense got after Rodgers. They pressured him, five sacks, and the coverage, other than a few times here and there. And that's not going to happen in any game because the rules right now make it so hard to cover wide receivers.
Right.
But overall, the coverage was really, really good. I thought Sherrick McManus stepping in for Bryce Callahan did a great job. And really across the board, nothing has changed. From the front to the back, this Bears defense is in sync and playing together as a dominant unit.
I know you're going to break here, Justin, then we're coming back with Adam, but I wanted to tease my question. It's going to have to do with jewelry, and I'm not talking about a Super Bowl ring. That's going to be my question for Adam.
Okay.
I don't think I know the question. All right. Adam Hoge, WGNradio.com/Bears. We're talking about the Bears and their convincing victory over the Packers. What's next? We'll also get an update on injuries, of course. Everybody wants to know about defensive players, Eddie Jackson and Aaron Lynch as well. So we'll get to those coming up.
The Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Adam Hoge with us. WGNradio.com/Bears for all of his reports. Of course, our Bears insider watched the Packers-Bears game. Okay, so we start right up with the injury report. Eddie Jackson, let's start with him. Do we know anything more about his injury from Sunday?
Whoa, what about my ring?
We'll get to the ring. We'll get to the ring.
I think the Bears dodged a couple bullets on Sunday because Eddie Jackson and Aaron Lynch both suffered injuries that sometimes it could have been season-ending, and it sounds like neither of them are. Matt Nagy said that he does not think either one is season-ending. They're still undergoing testing to understand how bad each one is. Of course, Eddie Jackson sprained his ankle. What's going to determine the severity is it high ankle, low ankle? But it sounds like there's a pretty good chance he'll be back for the playoffs. So that's huge because he's a potential all pro. And then Aaron Lynch is a good depth piece. Man, his arm was just dangling there. I thought that was for sure going to be out for the year, but maybe he can put a big brace on his elbow and come back and play. We've seen it before.
Get a big brace on it.
You know, can I ask real quick, Kyle Long is another one. Are we going to see him before the playoffs?
I don't know for sure, but I will tell you this. Kyle Long is going to do everything he possibly can to get back. I saw him yesterday walking around outside the facility, and he wasn't limping at all. So the boot is off his leg, and we're still a few weeks away from a playoff game. I think there's a pretty decent chance that Kyle Long could be back.
You know, Adam, I think I mentioned, I don't know, a week or two ago about the defensive player of the year, and we were all thinking early in the year Khalil Mack, and then Aaron Donald seemed to move into pole position for that. I'm not sure that Mack hasn't come back and maybe put himself back. I don't know if he's in the lead, but I got to think there's going to be a lot of sentiment in favor of Khalil Mack for that honor. And I know the Pro Bowl gets announced today, right?
Yes, there'll be a show tonight, I think, on the NFL Network.
I got to think there's going to be a bunch of Bears in the Pro Bowl this year.
Yeah, there's a bunch of guys who I believe are definitely deserving. But in terms of Defensive Player of the Year, I agree. You know, 2 weeks ago when we were getting ready for that Rams game, I had basically conceded that, Aaron Donald had pulled away and was deserving to win it over Khalil Mack. But, you know, the season wasn't over yet, and Khalil Mack had the better game head-to-head when those guys, when the Bears played the Rams, and Donald's actually had a quiet couple weeks here now, and Mack has been great. So, it's not over yet. There's still 2 weeks left, and I agree that Mack has kind of closed the gap between those two players. And then in terms of potential Pro Bowlers, here are guys that I think have a legitimate shot to get in. Akeem Hicks should definitely be in
absolutely.
The Pro Bowl. Khalil Mack should definitely be in the Pro Bowl. I think Tariq Cohen will get in as a punt return specialist.
That's cool.
I don't know if he'll make it, but Eddie Goldman has definitely been playing at a Pro Bowl level. If he, the question is, does he get the votes from his peers and coaches?
Does he get the attention, too?
Right. Which, like last year, Akeem Hicks should have been in, and he didn't. So I'm not so sure Eddie gets in, but I think he's been playing at that level. And then I think Eddie Jackson gets in too. So there's going to be.
What about Kyle Fuller? You don't think Kyle's got it this year?
Kyle's got a chance. He does lead the league in interceptions, which, you know, that's one of those stats that can earn you votes just based on it being a notable stat.
It's amazing. And I also think, and I don't think they're going to make it, but Danny Trevathan and Roquan Smith, the rookie from Georgia, he is turning. I mean, his speed is unbelievable. And you were seeing a late season impact from this linebacker.
Yeah, he's also been playing at a potential Pro Bowl level. The way I grade these guys out, I mean, really, Hicks, Mack, Tariq Cohen, Eddie Goldman, even Allen Robinson's been really good. I don't think he'll get in, but he's been so important to this offense. I agree, Roquan Smith, Danny Trevathan. I'll give you another offensive name. It was actually somebody who I do think should get in. I don't know if he will, but Cody Whitehair, the Bears center, has been having a great season. Mm-hmm.
Justin wants to know if Mitch Trubisky will get in.
Is Trubisky going to get in?
Well, I like that we're not having a conversation about Trubisky. We'll save it for a different day. Yeah, Mary.
So, Adam, I need to know, how close were you to the engagement that took place on the field?
Not very, because I was still up in the press box.
Did you happen to catch a glance of the ring once it happened? Did you run down there?
No, it was not my priority after the Bears won the NFC North. It wasn't.
Because I mentioned a jewelry in the tease, somebody texted in, just so you know, they hope the jewelry is for your wife, because this guy John says that Krista is her dad's therapist and she's a sweetheart. So,
that's very nice.
We got a Krista fan club going on here. So
what I thought you were going for, I saw it in the post game, was Tariq Cohen's grill.
Oh,
did you see the yellow diamonds in his mouth that matched his chain? That was a big thing in the post game shows, that there was a lot of jewelry in Club Dub after the game.
They got a lot of swag going on right now. Good for them.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm disappointed in the reporting of the engagement ring.
I did talk to Charles Leno in the locker room, but the ring. And I will say, we were trying to grill him on where the ring was during the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we heard that.
And he didn't want to tell us.
I like to think there's a special pocket made in his little. What do you call that? The groin area.
Yeah, we think
he had
not.
A little pocket in there for the ring.
I hope not.
He said it was on his person. Yeah. He said it was on him, so.
Hmm.
That doesn't mean it's him.
Yeah.
He's got a person there on the sideline.
He's got a person, yeah. That's probably true.
All right,
true.
So looking ahead, the Bears, of course, they don't control much being the 3 seed, but they want to win out just because that'll have implications in the playoffs. They might be able to jump the Rams and get into the bye. Also, with the Vikings, they have a chance to knock them out. But I heard this, and I think this is so important, Adam, that to show the team and to build confidence that you can go into another team's building on the road and win those games when you have to go into the playoffs and do the same thing.
Yeah, for sure. And let's be honest. I mean, the one problem with this Bears team this year is that they've had a couple bad losses on the road. So I don't look at the 49ers like an easy win on Sunday. That would be a mistake. And then we're not there yet, but week 17 is going to be fascinating, because it's possible that the Vikings are going to need to win to get into the playoffs. That's a game that could still be flexed to Sunday Night Football if that's the case. So they could be in primetime spotlight again. And that could be an opportunity for the Bears to just knock out the Vikings.
How great would that be?
That's a scenario where if they beat the Vikings in week 17, the Vikings are out. If they lose, they're going to have to play them again the week later at Soldier Field. So that's a very interesting situation there that could develop.
Oh, I love it. Adam Hoge, WGNradio.com/Bears. Find out all his stuff, his podcast, his great podcast, everything else. Great work. Thanks, Adam.
All right. Have a great day, everyone.
There you go. So exciting to hear that. I mean, the drama, the storylines from this team, just the idea of beating the Packers, knocking them out of contention, getting an opportunity to perhaps do the same thing to their rivals in Minnesota. It doesn't get any better for Bears fans. No.
I mean, anytime we're sitting here and it's December 18th, we're looking ahead 2 weeks to the playoffs,
three weeks
down the road. I mean, that's pretty good.
It makes football so much better, doesn't it?
I'm still nervous.
I know, but I
two more games, and I don't want them to slack off.
I will say this about the Chicago Bears, because I was having this kind of text conversation with my brother, because he's like, I'm nervous about this Packers game, and they have been in every single game they've played this year. There's not been a game in which they have not or been blown out, or looks like they were dominated. They have down to the wire every single time.
How about this? They are the only team in the NFL that has had the lead in the second half of every game.
How about that? Amazing. All right, we got more to come here. We're going to play a clip from an interview I did with Barry Jenkins, the writer and director of Moonlight. His new film, If Beale Street Could Talk, is out in theaters, and it's getting Golden Globe nominations, and it's a shoo-in for Oscar nominations as well. Barry Jenkins coming up here on the Steve Cochran Show. Stay with us.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
One more day here without Steve Cochran. He's back on Thursday. I'm out Thursday, so this will be it.
I'm out Thursday.
No. Well, some of us are going to be here Thursday.
Looks like it's you and me, Dave.
The pros. The pros.
Been waiting for that, Mary.
Yeah.
It's going to, you guys are the pros. You guys have been together for so long.
Stop the pros. Mary was in Florida not too long ago, and then Dave was in Florida all last week. Well. So it's not like we're
It was way back in November.
Yeah, but the days. It's just the
it was
days.
Way back last Saturday.
I know. I feel like I, for the first time in my life, I actually got the wrapping the presents done. Whoa. I finished it up. Miles and I did it over the weekend. And I was the first to put presents under the tree.
You said this was like a 20-year discussion in your relationship.
Yep. I have been, for 20 years, I have been the last. I do it right around Christmas Eve and do it, and my wife gets mad because she's really into the how the tree looks. So the joke is on me because I put them under the tree, and this year, Julie was like, the cats like to go under the trees, so don't put the presents out too early.
You can't win.
I was like, what? And she's like, well, that's where the cats sit, so just put them over to the side. I'm like, right. Okay, so now I'm too early on the. And there's a question. We have, you know, like everybody, you bring up the Christmas wrapping paper, and there's all sorts of rolls that have been left over from years, and there's all sorts of stuff. Yeah. And so Miles and I had to choose which paper would be appropriate for his mother. And we know she likes, we don't know which one she likes, so we're like, we'll look for the color pink, and we were wrong.
They were wrong.
So when they went under.
How much pink? Mary, there's a lot of pink Christmas paper?
Christmas wrapping paper?
I looked in there, and there'd be like a little pink bird, or like maybe a pink line inside of the, whatever. I just was going off of that's her favorite color. Yeah. I'm guessing that's there because she likes it.
Okay.
And so then when we put it under there, it's been nothing but, I just feel like I'm set up to lose.
You might be set up to fail there. That I could agree with that. But the wrapping, I think, what color does she wear all the time? What color does she decorate
pink,
your house?
Yeah,
she wears pink all the time?
No, she wears black all the time. But
so, yeah. Looking at for pink paper.
It's her favorite color. It's simple
to
go there.
Is it her favorite color?
Yeah. I know it's her favorite color. So it's like, it's simple to go there.
Okay.
I just, what I've been doing to.
Just put a pink bow on it then.
Yeah.
It won't match, but oh well.
Well, what I've been doing to offset the criticism is just to blame it all on Miles.
There you go. He picked it.
Poor Miles.
I go, oh, well, don't talk to me. Talk to him. He chose it. He said this was your favorite, and he was so happy to see your reaction to this favorite paper. So talk to him.
I pride myself on knowing exactly how much wrapping paper I need, so I always have very little left over.
Oh, okay.
But what I do have left over, I use the next year first because I don't want to have
I like to get rid of it.
So it's always a mix up.
No, they're like,
yeah,
they're like
my
nine
kids
rolls.
Use the ugly stuff first and they don't.
Well, but why do you even have the ugly stuff?
I don't know if I got it on sale or something.
Yeah,
but I want to make it clear, nothing's ugly in there. That's the problem.
Yeah.
Like, it all looked good.
Paper is good now.
Yeah, I mean, there's just a lot of different designs. I just chose the wrong design.
You chose the wrong one. I have all our presents under the tree. I like to torture the kids because
do they shake them all?
They don't. They're not allowed to touch them. And they're really good about it.
What?
Maybe if they were there all the time.
That's the fun part, shaking them beforehand.
They're not allowed to touch them, but they, because Santa goes to their mom's house, so our presents are just from us, and so they can be put out because there's no surprise. But it's torture. The piles are torture.
I pride myself.
You love it.
I have clues on my gifts.
Clues. What?
I've done this for years. I put clues, and it drives them crazy. And then we have, like, when we unwrap the gifts, we have a contest to see who can guess the most. You know, not that everybody has the same amount of presents, so it gets kind of doesn't work.
What
all
do you
love
what do you mean a clue? Like it doesn't say this is
like
for your daughter.
A riddle, a clue. It has to be a short clue because the name, the tags aren't very big. So
I have terrible penmanship. No one would even know what the clues say. But like, what is it? So your gift would not say for Dave. It would say a clue.
Oh no, it does say. It says Sarah, and then there'll be a clue. And if there's a clue on it, they know it's for me.
It's like Rumpelstiltskin.
I mean, it's obvious. It's for me if it's a weird clue.
Right. So like, well, the clue will be what's inside.
Yes.
Oh, that's so brilliant.
Yeah, that's fun.
Mary,
I'm trying to think of one I recently did, but then I'll have to divulge what the gift is.
Yeah.
And my
maybe
son,
last
it
year's.
Drives him nuts. But now they're getting so good at it that I can't think. I mean, it's hard to think of clues for, a shirt.
Yeah.
You know, then you got to really divulge into the name brand or whatever. It is just, it's getting very difficult for me. So I might have to quit doing the
draped over your shoulders like a carpet for the sky. Like, I'm just coming. I'm trying to help you.
It's really fun. It's very fun.
That's fun for you. But that adds a lot of work for you.
It's a lot of work. It is. Yeah. Not only have to make the gift look good, then you got to come up with
it. I don't even do gift tags. And I don't do bows because the kids are not, I don't know if they didn't grow up with ribbon or something, but they always ask for scissors. They don't know how to rip ribbon. Oh. And it bothers me that they want to use scissors. So I just don't put any bows on at all.
Well, I like to tie my own bows.
Oh, do you?
Absolutely.
Oh, you get your finger stuck in them.
But I just write with a Sharpie right on the gift.
Yeah, that's a classic.
To Catherine. Love,
yeah, that's classic.
Love Mary and Pat or Mary and Dad or Mary and Phil because they call him Phil Dumphy from Modern Family. So Phil gives a lot of gifts.
Nicknames.
Yeah.
Well, our family growing up, it was all newspaper. It was all, and so you had no choice but to write on what it was. And in my grandma who died this year, she had Alzheimer's and dementia, so she hadn't been doing much of the wrapping in the last one. But it was a big memory of mine that when they would show up on Christmas Day, they'd pop the back of the Buick. You know, my grandma and grandpa, and coming out would be the most extravagant, beautiful, elegant, and just wealth, like wrapping paper, like a lot of gold and silver, you know, like a lot of deep greens, deep maroon. But it could be a sweater, you know, or a coin set or whatever.
But the
packaging was just like, well, this is not, you can wrap without newspaper?
Some of that heavy paper, I think, Mary, you could attest to this, and Steve Bertrand, obviously, since you're doing wrapping, the heavy paper needs a lot of tape. Like, sometimes fights the tape, you know, those ones that are really embossed.
Yeah. I'm sorry, did you believe that I actually do wrap packages?
Oh, I did. Are you lying? I take all that stuff literally. Can't say that to me.
Classic.
And this is just, when Steve Bertrand and I were sitting by each other during our holiday show last Friday, I was announcing to people that Steve Bertrand has no information. People kept coming to him with questions, it seemed, about the play, and he had no information.
Yeah, and again, that will be on my tombstone.
Yeah.
Steve Bertrand has no information.
No information.
Are you guys going to see, this is a big weekend for movies coming out. This will be the weekend, right? Vice, the Dick Cheney movie comes out. You also have your big Aquamans and your, I think Aquaman might be out now. But
the Marwin thing?
The Marwin, also the...
Mary, that doesn't sound like Mary's going to see that.
Bumblebee, the Transformers movie?
I don't know if I
want
to see it.
So are you guys, do you usually, for the holidays, do you go to movies? Are you movie people?
We do not do movies. I don't like listening to people chew.
That's awesome. That's the best thing I've heard all day.
Don't they chew when you're at home watching a movie?
It. Yeah, but I can tell him to stop it.
Dave, you're going to hit some movies. Which movie are you looking at that's the one you want to see?
Oh, boy.
There's a lot of good ones.
There's a lot of good ones.
How about the animated Spider-Man? Is that up your alley?
Yeah.
I don't think so. But
Miles told me about the animated Spider-Man when we were thinking about going this past weekend. He goes, it's a great story. It's got great actors. Post Malone's in it.
Oh.
And I'm like, Post Malone's in it? Well, he did the song for it. I'm like, why does that matter on the movie? He was really into Post Malone being involved in the soundtrack of Spider-Man.
It gives it some cred.
I guess so, yeah.
There's a texter suggesting, Mayor, that from the 773, that John DeCasse should write your clues for your presents.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, some riddles.
Marry a riddle.
Yeah.
There you go.
Oh, I'll get him on that because I'm getting tired of it.
Well, you're hoping, yeah. So there, what movie are you thinking about, Dave? Or are you just going to skip
it? You know what the Will Ferrell, Jesse Riley one, is Sherlock, what's it called, Holmes and Watson or whatever it is.
That looks good.
That looks like it's pretty funny.
It's amazing. There's so many movies out right now that look good that it almost is forcing me to see none of them. Like, I can't pick a favorite, so I'm just skipping them.
I want to see Mary Poppins for
sure. Mary Poppins as well. That looks great.
I'm so excited
about that. I had a chance for the Download podcast, did the download on WGN at night for a couple of years, and we still do the podcast and people come through, but Barry Jenkins came through. Barry Jenkins is the Academy Award-winning director of Moonlight. He won for that film, and he was the writer and director, and he's the writer and director of Beale Street Could Talk, which I saw, which is a great film. Set in 60s Harlem. It's really based, it's loose, it's based on the novel by James Baldwin, but it's a tremendous story, first off, but it's just shots. It's just so well done. Barry Jenkins has done this, obviously this is his follow-up, and he's had such a great career, but he came in and he brought a couple of the actors with Stephan James, and and she's from Chicago, Kiki Lane.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, we're both in. So let me play a snippet of Barry Jenkins. This is, we were talking about putting the film together and just, you know, the idea of essentially creating a period piece of doing a film that was set in 60s Harlem. Take a listen.
Yeah. I feel like the power in allowing the movie to remain set in the early 1970s when the book was published was to show how these issues have been allowed to persist. You know, they've been so pervasive. And Mr. Baldwin was a very wise man. And the truth then, unfortunately, is still the truth now. And I think what's really important to consider is, you know, we assume these institutions are perfect. The legal system is perfect. The judicial system are perfect. The law, you know, and the officers who enact that law are perfect. But I think in the story, you see how easily those things can be manipulated to the point that Fonny's not falsely accused of anything. He's chosen out of a police lineup. Mm-hmm. He's placed in that police lineup by someone who's manipulating the system and abusing the power. So I think all these things that Mr. Baldwin was saying are still very, very relevant today.
At the end, is there one thing you want the viewer to take away more than something else?
Yeah, I think, you know, times are hard. You know, I think everywhere you look right now, you know, times are hard, you know, but they don't always have to be. And I think through love and family and community, I think we can create a world where things aren't as hard, you know, where this hardness and the degradation of the lives and souls of black folks isn't a continual thing, you know. And I think if anybody, if people watch this film and take anything away from it, I think, especially with the way we end the film with this tableau, is that, you know, the family is intact, you know, the love, the lives and souls of black folks, which have always been rooted in some element of despair, going back to the very foundation, the history of this country, and yet there's always been joy, there's always been love, there's always been family. I think the reason why we're still here is because of that love and joy and family and community. I hope people walk out with a sense of that. I hope all people walk out with a sense of that, whether you're black, white, this, that, or the other.
That's a great interview with Barry Jenkins and some of the actors from If Beale Street Could Talk, which is nominated for Best Film in the Golden Globes, and it also is a... for the Oscars, people say it's going to be nominated for Best Picture as well. And Regina King, who's in the film, is getting supporting actor nods left and right. So it's really, really well done. And it's a story about, like I said, it's set in early 70s, as you said, Harlem. But it's really a story about love. It's really good.
He needs a radio show. His voice is like most soothing. You can listen to him tell me anything.
Yeah. So, yeah, check that out, WGNRadio.com. It's a download podcast. All right, so we'll take our last break here and find out what's coming up in the 10 o'clock news with Steve Bertrand. Steve? I'm feeling festive this year. I feel like this is the most Christmassy I've felt in a long time.
That's because you did all your wrapping.
I think so. I think that might be the recipe to Christmas cheer. I've been trying to convince the fam. We've been watching a bunch of Netflix films and we watch That's a bunch right. of Christmas stuff.
You were inspired by Molly and Pete Save Christmas.
Yes, I was.
Their Hallmark podcast that
Great
you get
podcast.
At WGN
Radio. You watched the Kurt Russell one?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I loved it.
I want to see it.
Is it good?
It's good, yeah. I thought it held up, too. It's set in Chicago. That part doesn't hold up. There's a lot of parts where you're like, that's not
that's
Chicago.
As we learned from Molly and Pete, those things are usually in Toronto.
Yeah, right. There definitely is a Canadian
they
feel
say,
to it.
They always say Chicago, but they're not. So because you're feeling so festive, is that why you're going to try to see Santa for a second
We're
gonna
time? We're going to try to see Santa again tonight.
I can't remember if you talked about it on the air or if that was off the air.
We did talk about it on the air, and then
there was a brawl, Mary. Do you remember when he went to go see Santa last weekend?
Oh, wasn't it a promo?
Yeah, they turned it into a promo, but I was talking about in the air that we went to see Santa on, I think it was Sunday the week before, and it was a 2.5 hour wait, and then we came back, we went to breakfast, did some stuff on State Street, came back, and they still said it was an hour, and we weren't the only ones. There were a ton of moms there, and the brawl was on. There was one mom who actually said, "Why are you a liar?" She said that to the actual Macy's person, who was just, you know, just a clerk who's like, "It's going to be another hour. Why are you lying? Why are you a liar?" Like, that was the rhetorical question that was handed to the Macy's.
How did he answer that?
She just went, "All right, it's an hour." It was a mess, but we do want to go see. We do like the experience, and we do like seeing Santa. And you know,
we
might not be the appropriate, because when asked, Miles was like, "We're good." He wrote a letter.
Yeah, he wrote the letter. Huh? And the best part of his letter is he indicated that he was Miles Kaufman from Chicago, as to not be confused with Miles Kaufman from
so
Des Moines,
Miles,
Iowa.
Right, sure, smart, specific.
But mom wants a picture.
Mom wants a picture.
Yeah, and you can't recreate that without a Santa and your son. You need both.
Right.
So
that's, So we're going back that way. So I'm a little bit afraid that there's going to be a wait tonight as well.
If Miles could cry in the photo. That would make me happy because I like nothing more than these pictures of these kids that are terrified on Santa.
Yeah, that would be a good bit.
Do your grandkids do Santa yet, Mayor?
No, and I never took my kids to do it either.
Really?
Nope. I don't know. I didn't want to traumatize. I did the Easter Bunny one year, and
the Easter Bunny is scary looking.
They all freaked out, yeah. So I'm like, well, you know, whatever. And then they really get you for those pictures, too.
Yeah, that's the problem.
You have
to make a decision right away if it's worth it. Yeah. But Miles is, you know, this is probably the last year at 11 years old
that they'll allow
sit on the sand.
Yeah, yeah, he's so done with it. Yeah.
Yeah. So we kind of want to get that. So
if it's right. it might get a little weird.
I'll let you guys know. I'll text you all. I'll get group text going of how long this wait is tonight. We'll see. We're coming up with stories that matter in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom, where Steve Bertrand has your news right after this. Stay with us.